From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. Egypt is returning to a semblance of normalcy today. Banks have reopened and there's more traffic on the streets. But officials say the country's stock market will remain closed until next weekend. And NPR's Eric Westervelt in Cairo says pro-democracy demonstrators in the city's main square are not budging.
The government concessions include promises of political reform, easing of press restrictions, and corruption investigations into several ministers who were recently fired. Mubarak has reshuffled his cabinet and his party leadership. But protesters insist all that is window dressing unless the dictator resigns now and hands over to a transitional government to lead the country toward new elections. Pro-Mubarak forces say that's unconstitutional, and President Mubarak has said he won't leave office until after his term is up in September. Meantime, the Egyptian pound fell today to its lowest level against the U.S. dollar in almost 6 years. Some economists here fear a rise in food prices and inflation, key problems that contributed to anti-government protests in the first place. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Cairo.
The future of failed mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac may start to come into focus this week with the likely release of an Obama administration report on the matter and a congressional hearing. Jacob Goldstein from NPR's Planet Money team joins us now. Jacob, how is this debate shaping up?
Well, both sides agree that the government should play a smaller role in the mortgage market than it does right now. Somewhere around 90% of new mortgages are guaranteed by taxpayers, so the government is really keeping the housing market afloat. This is largely being done through Fannie and Freddie, which were bailed out and taken over by the federal government back in 2008.
So if there's agreement the government should play a smaller role, where's the disagreement?
The question really comes down to how much smaller the government's role should be. Many Republicans have said they want to see Fannie and Freddie eliminated altogether and replaced by private companies. Democrats, by and large, want to keep some role for the government. One way this might get worked out would be for the government to sell something like catastrophe insurance, something that would kick in if there were another big housing bust when lots and lots of people wind up defaulting on their mortgages.
Thanks, Jacob. That's NPR's Jacob Goldstein in New York. Lawyers for WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange are presenting arguments in a London court against his extradition to Sweden today. Larry Miller reports.
In court, Assange's defense team disputed the allegations, arguing that for some of them, no such crimes exist on the statute books. His lawyers also say Sweden is the only place in the EU where rape trials are held in secret, and that Assange cannot have a fair trial if the media and public are denied access. The defense insists there's no need for an extradition warrant because Assange is ready, willing, and able to cooperate with Swedish authorities, and that he offered to go to Scotland Yard or the Swedish embassy to be interrogated.
This is NPR News from Washington. President Obama speaks today to a group with which he's had major differences in the past, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. It's part of what the administration is calling an effort to reach out to businesses and find common ground on challenges such as creating more jobs. Final results expected today from South Sudan's independence referendum. NPR's Ophebia Quist-Arkton reports the results are expected to confirm that 99% of voters in the oil-rich South want to secede from the North.
The expected declaration of full independence for Southern Sudan should mark its formal separation from the north of the country in July. Sudan's President Omar Hassan al-Bashir resisted the vote until the 11th hour, warning that splitting Africa's largest nation could reignite the war. Bashir now says the north will accept the south's decision to secede. He told supporters, "We will commit to the final result and respect the choice of the people of the south." Bashir's comments may help allay fears of northern reluctance to allow oil-producing southern Sudan to go peacefully. Ophelia Quist-Arkton, NPR News, Abidjan.
Green Bay Packers fans celebrating the team's victory in the Super Bowl. The Packers held off a second-half surge by the Pittsburgh Steelers to win 31-25. Packers coach Mike McCarthy says it's fitting that the championship trophy, which is named after the Packers' legendary coach, is returning to the city for the first time in more than a decade.
Obviously very proud of our football team. It's a great day for the Green Bay Packers, and Coach Lombardi's trophy is finally going back home.
The Packers won despite some key injuries to defensive players. The Steelers hurt themselves by committing three turnovers. The Packers turned all three into scores. Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers was named the game's most valuable player. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News.